This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan Vermeulen, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I am also doing well, thank you. I'm looking at what we plan to talk about today, and there's a lot. So, Jan, let's do it fast because there is a lot. Let's talk about the Bitcoin scam that's setting up shop in South Africa.
Yeah, so this is something that got sent to me by someone in Durban who spotted these ads for a company called Smart BTC on the sides of cars. And so together with some of my amateur and professional investigators at the My Broadband community, we delved into this and found that this, well, I mean, it was quite clear that this was a kind of scam. It's called a high yield investment program or HYPE scam. But what we found out, so I ran the numbers, right, and to see what kind of offer they were you know putting out into the market, and it's like 20% interest a week, and so that works out to 1,040% per year. But if you compound that weekly, it would generate an effective annual return of 1.3 million%.
Those numbers I don't understand.
it's get rich quick scheme on steroids. This thing was just completely ridiculous. Anyway, yeah. We went digging and found that this was so. Firstly, this exact same template was rolled out all over the world, and it's based on a web template developed by a company in Bangladesh, in Dhaka, in Bangladesh, and it's literally a shop for Ponzi's. They sell themes, website templates called Ponzi Pro.
And
you can get that for $200 or ePonzi for $80. Literally, you don't even have to build your own website anymore as a Ponzi scheme.
Done.
And it's not even on the dark web. You know, they don't even have the decency to sell it on the dark web for Bitcoin. You swipe your credit card and buy these things. It's ridiculous.
Oh my goodness me. Yeah, and as I said, there really is a lot to get through, and it's all interesting today. So apparently a court in South Africa banning mass surveillance. I mean, don't we need it given our complete lawlessness?
No, this is a different kind of mass surveillance. This is the kind of Edward Snowden mass surveillance that's been happening in South Africa. This is the Constitutional Court, and the State Security Agency has been en masse harvesting the private communications of South African citizens and storing it. And so the Constitutional Court has ruled that that is unlawful and they can't do that. And further, they have the Constitutional Court has declared the RICA Act, the Regulation of Interception of Communications and Provision of Communication-Related Information Act. Say that six times fast. RICA, which we all know because, you know, when you buy a new SIM card or something, you say, I'm going to go RICA SIM. Or, you know, you get it if you want to be on the shady side of the law, or let's not call it shady, on the wrong side of the law, on the unlawful side of things, you can get a pre-RICA SIM. And so we all know what RICA is, but RICA does more than that. RICA is meant to be the framework within which legal wiretapping is done in South Africa. And the Constitutional Court has said that there are certain parts of RICA which just don't pass muster. They kicked it back to Parliament. Parliament has 3 years to fix it. But in those 3 years, it's not just the status quo. In a move that's quite extraordinary, the Constitutional Court has injected new parts of legislation into RICA. One of the ones that's sort of most interesting to me is that they now require what they call post-surveillance notification. So if you are the subject of a wiretap, then whichever law enforcement agency got that wiretap on you has to notify you 90 days after the wiretapping order expires. And so, and they can, you know, to ensure that no cases, no investigations are jeopardized as a result of this, there is a provision in there to extend by 90 days at a time to a maximum of 2 years before they must notify you. So that's pretty exciting. And then on top of that, they also injected a piece of legislation into RICA just as an interim measure where if a lawyer or any other legal professional, an attorney of any stripe, or a journalist is about to be wiretapped. That needs to be disclosed to who's called the designated judge. There is a single retired designated judge which handles RICA requests, and they need to be duly informed that a RICA request is to intercept the communications of an attorney or a journalist.
Let's move on to something that is very real to our everyday lives, specifically if you are in South Africa, or Joburg, I should say. Fury, no less, after load shedding schedules changed without notice.
Yeah, this happened on the weekend, and while it's, you know, on paper, a good thing for Joburg residents to move from 4.5 hour load shedding time slots to 2.5 hour time slots, it was done without warning. And so people on the weekend, found themselves being load shed, and it disagreed with the schedules they had in front of them. And, the guys at Eskom Sapush didn't have the updated schedules. They were scurrying frantically on Friday to get the new schedules loaded into the app so that people can, you know, plan their lives. And so yes, we got comment from City Power, who said basically it's Eskom's fault, paraphrasing, but what they said. But they explained that they went through this long process, or they started this long process. They were about to workshop the changes with the residents of Johannesburg, you know, send it out for comment and so on, and then suddenly load shedding happened. And they had to, on very short notice, implement this new 2.5 hour schedule rather than their usual 4 hour schedule, and then send out communications to everybody to let them know what had happened.
Didn't they alter the blocks as well, Jan? Isn't that changed?
So that's the other piece of information that was missing on the weekend. That even the Eskom Sapush guys said, "Listen, this is a problem because we don't know for sure which suburbs correspond to which block." So they're working on the old system, but that might not be accurate. And so, yeah, it just unfortunately caught a lot of people off guard, made them quite angry, and it raises questions, because just a few weeks ago, we sat down with City Power to ask them, "So why can't you do 2 hour load shedding blocks rather than 4 hour blocks like the rest of the country does?" And City Power gave us this whole long explanation of why it's not practical for Johannesburg because of, the aging switch gear at the substations, and they already have a situation where substations are exploding and so on. And, you know, if they switch off Orlando, it feeds into almost
20 other substations. So tiring.
And exactly that's the point I'm trying to make. And yet, despite all those excuses, they've done it. And so now, immediately the question arises, why about these aging substations now? Aren't they going to blow up?
Well, you and I are going to discuss that next time we chat. Thank you for your input this afternoon. As always, Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large at mybroadband.co.za. Thank you for being with us this afternoon.
It's a pleasure. Have a good day further.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.